Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay.
And welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. My name is host Mike Jokum. Jess and Matt are joining me. And joining us for the first half of the episode from Team Penske is crew member Chris Fambro. First, Chris, how are you doing tonight? And thank you for joining us.
Doing good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
No problem at all. Jess and Matt, how's everybody?
Good.
Pretty good.
Good. I hope, Jess, you're not waiting for a Pizza Hut for the entire episode this week.
I'm already eating, so nope.
Perfect. And just so everybody, you know, listening, we'll talk to Chris for the first, bit of the episode here. Then we'll dive into some news. Obviously, there's been plenty of news for the last couple of days. But with that, you know, Chris, again, thank you for joining us. We'll make the first question an easy one. We know you're a crew guy for Will Power's car, but why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, your role at Penske and all that it encompasses?
So my main job is transportation driver. There's two of us per truck, and what we do basically is whether we have garages or we have the paddock set up, we set up the tent. All the garage equipment, load and unload the cars. We do everything from fuel and generators to maintenance on everything. We set up the entire pit lane. Truck drivers, we do fuel tanks, the timing stands. We help with those. All the guns, hoses. We take care of all the little things inside the truck too. Whether it's a cabinet or helping make sure that everybody's got a place to work. Big thing is we clean. We got to be Penske perfect, so everything looking good is always our priority as well. While we're setting up and tearing down, I'm also dead man on the 12 car behind the fueler, and that's a basis of what I do. It changes here and there because
sure.
Everything that needs to be done, but we all help each other out as well.
And before I give it to Matt, you're also helping out with the Penske IMSA team, especially next weekend at the Daytona 24, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I'm going down there to help out. It'll be my first Rolex.
Nice.
See what happens. It'll be fun.
Cool. All right, Matt, you're up.
Yeah, thanks again for joining us. From the IndyCar perspective, there's a lot of passionate fans out there who just really enjoy race days and everything that comes with the IndyCar series. What's something that most fans wouldn't realize kind of behind the scenes about what goes into running a team and, for all the crew guys, like all the work you guys put into it? What is something that most fans out there don't realize about the sport?
Pretty much everything you see of whether it's us working with all of our teams or helping out on pit road, like whether it's equipment or everything, everybody kind of helps out. Everybody, doesn't get in the way of each other to help set up for the product, for the racing fans to enjoy everything, especially when it comes to the drivers and the accessibility. Having the big fluid situation of what the paddock is, it, like all the little details, I guess, that go into that would be probably the most surprising thing, whether it's the early hours, the late nights, just making sure everything's safe, looks good, functional, and then, most importantly, doing our jobs to put on the best show for the fans, period.
I like it. Yeah, and I know all of the countless fans out there, we really do appreciate all the behind-the-scenes work that goes into making a race weekend really cool, so we'll toss it over to Jess.
All right, I am sure you already know, but I don't like to ask normal racing questions. I like to keep it weird. So the first one that we are kind of famous for, I'm going to give you a 400-pound block of, we're going to go with Parmesan cheese this time. What would you do with it?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm into meal prepping for lunch and dinner recently, so I'd probably just dive into all the things that I can make with Parmesan cheese. Spend the entire day cooking.
meal prep for years. Got it.
I was going to say, how much meal prep can we get out of 400 pounds of cheese?
I'm fairly certain a lot. I think we can feed the entire team in, like, twice.
Yeah, 400-pound blocks of cheese. I think somebody who's really good at math needs to figure out if you have 6 ounces of cheese every meal, how many days or years of cheese can you get out of 400 pounds?
That would be 800 days, Mike. Oh, no, it wouldn't. That's no, shoot, I'm wrong. Sorry, hang on a second. I thought there was 12 ounces in a pound. Go ahead and grill me for that. That's fine. let's see. Hang on, I'm doing some math.
I'll have to
1,066 days worth of cheese.
Wow.
So you meal plan for 3-ish years. Wow. Okay. All right. Moving on back to the racing world. So you work, primarily on the 12 team. What is you have any good embarrassing willpower stories that you can tell without Will getting angry at you?
Nothing special. What you see is what you get with them. And that's probably the greatest part, because whether it's, the 50-yard stare, 500-yard stare, whatever he's got going on, or if he's just joking around with us, having a good time while we're setting up or getting ready to go practice, he's immune to embarrassment, really.
Wow, I'm impressed. And what is a hidden talent that Willpower might have that nobody knows about?
The biggest one a lot of people do know about would be, I guess, the hidden thing. He's pretty great at the drums, but I have a feeling if he got a little more time, like maybe DJing or, playing around mixing stuff, I think that would come out to be really spectacular. Maybe a hidden thing with that.
DJ Willpower. DJ Willie P. There we go.
There you go.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, and kind of on top of that, so to kind of add on to that question, we've seen some pretty animated Willpower moments. To come to mind, he gave Racing Control 2 middle fingers. He called Alex Tagliani a wanker. A couple years ago, Fontana, he shoved a safety official. I mean, is that what Willpower is like? If you guys are all having a beer the night after a race, kind of being a little bit of a savage with some of his remarks about some drivers or officials or anything like that? Or is he actually pretty even keel behind the scenes?
Honestly, Will is, he's not like that bad or anything like that. Like, it's a heat of the moment driver thing. You see it from anybody. Will is the most fun, awesome dude to be around. Whether he's passionate or if he's just hanging out, chilling or whatever, he's, like, that passion alone drives all of us to do better for him, to perform better as well. And that's, wouldn't have it any other way.
And I forgot to mention, too, the radio message after he won the 500. But I thought that was really cool. A lot of people gave him crap for that on social media.
I loved it.
That's one of those good, passionate moments rather than a negative one, in my opinion. But
how he got out of the car.
Oh yeah, he was hyped, and I loved it.
Oh yeah.
So and deservedly so. So we'll give it over to Jess.
Back for another fun one. Let's see here. I think I'm gonna go with the movie one. So most people want to know what your favorite movie is, but I want to know what your least favorite movie is.
Oh, that's a tough one. I watch a lot of B, C, D, and Z rated foreign and horror flicks on Netflix and stuff, like the recommended things, and it's like there's so many exorcism knockoffs that you try watching it and then it really just turns into to garbage, so anything along those lines, like the poorly produced, I guess, horror movies. I can't say anything in particular, really.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's funny. Yeah,
Netflix
category. I was going to say, Mike, that sounds right up your alley, because that's kind of what you do. Somebody's like, this is a terrible movie, and you're like, I'm going to go watch it.
Yep. You watch it, you enjoy it, and you watch another one the next night or whatever. I do it all the time.
I watched a terrible one this afternoon while I was trying to get over this this cold or whatever I have here. And it was terrible, but I kind of knew going into it that it would waste 2 hours of my afternoon. And you just have to be okay with it going into it.
I feel like you need a better rating, or you need a better movie radar. I feel like every movie you watch is bad.
No, I watched a couple good ones recently. I don't remember what they were. I'll have to go back through my Netflix history, but...
Well, tell us a little bit about... Okay, so if you just watched a recently good movie, then it must have been The Land Before Time, so why don't you go ahead and describe that to us.
Stop it.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
Childhood favorites, man.
Yeah. All right, let's see here. So... What got you into racing? Were you, a truck driver first and then kind of found the Penske opening? Were you always a racing fan? How did the, racing and driving the hauler come about?
So as a kid, whether it was the Indy 500 or watching NASCAR, I even got really big into Formula One throughout my teenage years. I just enjoyed it all, dirt racing especially. So always knew I wanted to be in racing, and I had gone through some rough times after high school and kind of found myself lost as far as a career path, working a dead-end job at a casino. And I decided one day, I was like, okay, so my dad's been a truck driver. He's taught me a lot of everything that he knows, and that's something I know I can do. I can excel at, and I can take that, go to motorsports with it, and then, hopefully land, somewhere, work my way up the ladder. So I spent about 3 years over the road, driving a normal truck, hauling hazmat, being gone 48 states, all that fun stuff. I did that, just made sure, I kept a clean driving record. That was the main thing, because no matter if it was motorsports or not, if I had any issues, I couldn't get anywhere that I wanted. I couldn't achieve my goals. So I made sure that I did the very best of what I could. I had looked around and tried to contact, some NASCAR teams. The old adage, I guess, was you got to know somebody that knows somebody. And I had nobody. So it ended up being like I was online looking around, even like J-Ski back when J-Ski was a more open forum, I guess, and everything like that I could do to try to further my career and reach my goals, I would try to reach out. But I applied online at Penske, and I got on from there, and it was a humbling experience, honestly, because I had worked so hard, and it's like you just shoot right to the top after couple years of truck driving. It's crazy.
Yeah. What's it like to be able to work for one of the top motorsports owners of all time?
One thing I always say with that is it's energetic. RP himself, he was on our box this year. I worked with him last year, I guess. And then 2017, I was on Elio's car, and he was on our box then too. And just working with him, whether it's in the shop, out of the shop, in person, out of person, everything that he's set up and everything that he represents, It's truly an honor. It's fun. Like you love doing something, and you want to work doing something you love. And I mean, it's race cars, man. with the best man in the business.
It's
a blast.
It's an awesome gig. Yeah. So I will. I'll turn it over to Matt here, and then after Matt and Jessica, we'll go one more round and give you back your. The rest of your Wednesday night here.
Sounds good. I'll go meal prep a little bit.
So I, it's often considered that you guys are all kind of a family between the crew guys, the owners, everybody, including, the driver and the driver's family. And we always see Will's wife, Liz, on TV macerating a water bottle. Have you guys ever thought to like jump in and maybe give her like a stress ball or something, or do you just kind of let her be?
She's in her own world, and she honestly prefers the water ball. It's her routine, and we enjoy it because having her do that just shows what we're all working for, whether it's power or Liz herself. So it's one of those things, you kind of let her be. and the youngin too. So
have you ever stopped to like ask her how it like started or why she does it, or is it just, you know, just her thing?
It's just her thing.
Fair enough. We'll get it to Jess.
Okay, so you said that you've seen pretty much every state. So what was your favorite state?
Honestly, it depends on the season. I've got a soft spot in general year round for anywhere out west, really. Even parts of California. I'm a big fan of the mountains. So between Idaho, Montana, and New Mexico, the different climates and the different situations, they all kind of rank up there for me.
Nice.
Oh, I guess it's my turn. I was like, oh, okay. Well, Chris, again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Before I get into my last question, where can people find you on social media? I know you kind of post throughout the racing season and whatnot, some behind the scenes stuff. So where can everybody find you to follow along?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Eternal Trance, and then I'm on Instagram, kind of a new thing for me, diving into Instagram this year, at CFambro17.
Awesome. All right, so I will wrap it up with one question here. Hopefully I don't steal Matt's question again. you've been in racing now for a couple of years. What is, I think, and I know the answer to this, but your proudest achievement, in your, racing crew career would be what and why?
Being the biggest childhood dream I had, I wanted to be the guy behind the wheel, but, I would have to say definitely the 102nd Indianapolis 500. That it's surreal still. And that's something that, can never be taken away. You work for it, you earn it. And, that, I'm proud of it. I'm humbled by it. And I love every bit of it.
Awesome. Yeah, I kind of figured that would be the answer to that one. And hopefully I didn't steal Matt's question. Thank you again, Chris, and we'll turn it over to Matt.
Yeah, thanks again so much for joining us. My question is what can we expect out of Will Power and Team Penske in 2019?
Better year, better results. We're going to have a blast. And I thoroughly foresee us being another factor in the championship. It's Power. He makes miracles happen. So I up front having a blast. More P1 hats and more race wins.
Would you give Power the edge over Newgarden and Pagano this year?
Oh,
I think we're all pretty strong, honestly. it seems to come in waves with drivers and off and on years and whatnot, but with us here, we're all on the top of our game, especially those three. Like they bring each other up. So I don't think honestly there's an edge because we're all just right there. I mean, last year even with Newgarden and Power fighting for poles left and right, it's going to be a fun year to battle even in between us as it is with other teams.
Yeah, Roger would like that answer that you just gave. So thanks again for joining us. We'll toss it to Jess.
Thank you.
All right. I want to say thank you one more time. And then we would like to know, what is your spirit animal and why?
Joe Rogan. just how mindful he is, how he can think outside of the box. Plus, he's really good with his hands. He's strong. He's just a goofy guy. I kind of like that energy, so I guess that would be that or Matthew McConaughey, because he's just like the ultimate dude, but
I love it.
All right.
Exactly.
on that note, Chris, we all thank you for joining us. We'll see you at the track shortly. Thankfully, now that the off season is starting to pick up speed here a little bit. So, good luck next weekend at the Rolex 24 and all season in IndyCar. And we'll definitely look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me on. And anytime you're around, come say hey.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
Bye, y'all.
And we are back with the second half of our episode here. We're going to start off with Stump the Host. I will try my best to stump Jess and Matt tonight. So in honor of AJ Foyt's 84th birthday today, the day we're recording, it's going to be an AJ Foyt-based question here. It's going to be a tough one, so I'll give you I'll try to give you a few hints, but AJ Foyt raced how many total miles in the Indy 500? And it's let's just say it's less than I'll give you a less than range. It's more than 5,000 and less than 20,000.
Should we just prices write this or what?
Yeah, just prices write this.
Because his first one was 59 and his last one was 92.
Yeah, 91 or 92.
Somewhere on there. So good Lord. Hold Nelly. I will say, unless Jess, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
It doesn't matter. You can go first.
Or do you want me to keep rambling first?
No, I'm not.
You're turning into me.
I will say 14,512.
Okay, Jess?
15,860.
Unfortunately, if we're playing by Price is Right rules, you both have lost. It is 12,272 and a half. Although pretty close, but no, you both lose. Moving on.
So most you are.
What is it? You are the weakest link.
Oh, thanks.
Matt, why don't I turn it over to you for our first topic in the news segment tonight?
Yeah, and the most important topic is that IndyCar does have a title sponsor. So if anybody was playing the same drinking game at home as I was, which is anytime Mark Miles says an announcement is coming soon, we can finally stop taking drinks. So we're all good there. The title sponsor, of course, was announced as NTT Data, or actually, sorry, just NTT, the parent company. So now it's the NTT IndyCar Series, as was speculated by us last week. It is a multi-year deal. It wasn't specified as to how many years that is. Everything sounds positive, though, so far. I mean, I know it's been 2 days, but they seem really happy. And Jay Frye, when he was structuring this deal, as it came forward from Ganassi saying that they may want to step up their involvement, made sure that this title sponsor deal did not affect Ganassi's sponsorship deal. As Mike pointed out last week, the title sponsorship is different than the Ganassi Racing sponsorship, which I think was well-crafted. So, Jess, what do you think? Any thoughts? Good, bad, okay? What do you think about the title sponsor announcement?
I'm very excited, of course, that we finally know who it is. I'm also excited that they're excited. I watched what I could of the press announcement, and just seeing everybody so excited and so happy and basically ready to hit the ground running, it gives you hope that this is going to be a really good pairing.
Yeah, I agree with Jess. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the press conference, but from everything I read and following along on Twitter during the entire press conference, I read a lot of things that I really liked, especially how they are going to help grow the IndyCar mobile application for 2019 and going on, which it was pretty cool. As a huge technology company, I'm sure they have some pretty cool things up their sleeves and some pretty smart people to make it do some even better things than the Verizon IndyCar app did. And I guess at this point, now that it's not Verizon IndyCar, people who don't have Verizon will be able to take advantage of all the application features, which I think is a win for everybody. And on a larger scale, they're such a big technology company. We may see new ways and new technology in IndyCar just based on their now partnership with NTT. So I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, and I love what you said about the app. I was always frustrated when a friend would text me like, "Oh my gosh, guess what Power just said on the radio?" I'm like, "I don't know because I have Sprint." So thanks for texting me. And I do like the fact, kind of on top of that, that NTT is not really a consumer-based company per se. You can't go to Target and buy an NTT whatever. Versus when Verizon came out, you know, you had people saying, oh, I'm switching my phone plan to Verizon. And I feel like that's kind of a big ass to ask some people, you know, with contracts and all that good stuff with phone companies nowadays. It's kind of a, it's kind of tough to switch plans sometimes. So, you know, not too much pressure on the fans to kind of rally up and support NTNT per se, although we're all very appreciative of what they do and it should lead to a great partnership. Kind of on top of that, so they're based in Japan. Mike, any chance you think we get a race in Japan now? Do you think NTNT will help pave the way for IndyCar to go back across the Pacific, back to Japan?
Yes. Real quick before my short answer is yes. I'll get to my answer in a second. You know, the other nice thing about NTT, you know, like you mentioned, you know, no pressure from the Verizon standpoint. I get why, you know, some people will say, oh, well, it's not like Monster Energy or some companies that you can go out and buy stuff and support, but you know, the amount of things that NTT can do for IndyCar from a technological perspective, you know, as a, you know, I think they're, you know, $106 billion a year company, will help IndyCar and help its fans in the long run in a different way that, you know, we might not see today or tomorrow, but, you know, over the course of the season, sure. So I just wanted to throw that in there before we continue. But yes, I'm sure, you know, NTT, being a Japanese company, and if I understand correctly, Sato was at the press conference yesterday.
He was in the. I think he went to Japan with Mark Miles to help.
There's all sorts of connections that you can go. Okay, you know, it's not just that NTT is a Japanese company. Sato is there. You know, that pairing, it looks pretty promising that we could see a Japanese race maybe, you know, in 2 years. I know it's going to take more time. The last I heard, the Motegi Oval still wasn't back to working condition after the earthquake and everything over there a number of years ago. So I'm not sure where things stand on that exactly, but I would imagine the answer is a pretty confident yes.
I'm going to go with a mildly confident yes. As you mentioned, Motegi is still not up to racing conditions, and I don't think it's just that it's not up to racing conditions. Isn't it in the fallout area from the one nuclear plant that was injured? I know there's a reason that they were not choosing to resurface the track, and I thought it had something to do with that, but I can't remember for sure. Anyways, I feel like obviously the opportunity is there. There are other tracks obviously in Japan, and having NTT on board definitely isn't going to hurt anything. And obviously Sato is like, you know, a god over there. So it would be a good fit. I think there's a lot of fans who would definitely be for it. The only problem is the logistics and the cost of actually doing a race there, you know, getting the cars there and being able to make it make financial sense is, I think, the biggest factor at this point. So I think once they can figure out that aspect, maybe, you know, if we fly the cars over there, do a doubleheader kind of thing or something. I think once they figure out the financial aspect, it's going to be a go. So I'll say, like I said, mildly confident that it's going to happen.
And before Matt gives his thoughts, my quick research states that Motegi is a little bit more than 120 kilometers from the nuclear power plant disaster.
I just looked that up.
And the world health. Well, I'm going to finish my statement.
I wanted to cheat for once, and then you beat me to it for crying out loud.
I'm just too good
you
at it.
You know he's the best cheater. Why? Why would you even try?
The WHO and Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency state that it's safe to live permanently 80 kilometers or more away from the plant. So I don't know. Oh, okay. I guess that works, but you know, I could see some people, you know, like you said, being a
it's
little
fairly close. But,
yeah,
cheaters don't cite their sources. Come on,
Wikipedia.
yes, I think that a Japanese race will happen soon. However, I am on the train that I don't know if it'll be Motegi. So I guess we'll see, but, you know, NJ Fry we trust, so something good will happen. You know, I have no problems there at all. So we'll toss it to Mike here.
Yeah, our first round of Patreon shout-outs will end with our first fan question of the night. So thank you to Colin Taylor, Mr. David Lighting, Mr. Blogger Mike Knapp. And first fan question is from Patreon subscriber Michael Goodyear, who asks what we predict for Carlin Racing in 2019, considering it's been eerily quiet. Hashtag pit lane parlay. Thank you, Mike, for the question and the hashtag. I'll start it. Actually, I'm going to put Jess on the spot here first.
Oh, man. I still am not confident that they are going to have much of a better season than they had last year. I just, like you said, it's been eerily quiet, and I just don't have a lot of confidence in them. So we'll see, but I just don't think that they're going to really come through with anything shocking.
And what are your driver predictions?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that what we were doing? I thought it was just
no. I think both works. I think both works.
I'm gonna say Chilton still, and you know, I don't know. That second seat is just a beast. I have a feeling. I have no idea. Honestly, I have no clue. I think it's gonna be somebody who makes me go who?
Yeah, most likely. Matt.
All right. Dust off your Sharpies. Here you go. My bold prediction, which I don't know how bold it is, and I have no knowledge of anything, so it's okay if you guys make fun of me for this later, but I have Chilton in a full-time ride, I have Enerson in a full-time ride, and I have Kimball doing six races, and I base that off of Charlie Kimball's whatever account, the Novo Nordisk We Support Charlie Kimball Twitter account, saying that they're excited for the future with Carlin Racing, and we're excited to get the race season going, which is something we're going to touch on later, so we can touch on it now. But I think that can't be a bad thing if they're tweeting that. So I got to think there's something coming from Kimball and his sponsors and Carlin. However, I don't know if it's a full season, which has been what we've been getting fed to us through news the whole off season. So.
Yeah, like Jess said, I think we'll see. I'm going to be a little more bold in my prediction on how they'll do as a team, and we'll see them finish with a handful of top 10 finishes, no wins, but you know, maybe they'll squeak out a few top 10s. In terms of drivers, I definitely think Chilton will have the full-time ride in the one car, or the 59 car, I should say. The others, I mean, I've been told by more than a few people that RC Enerson has the second ride wrapped up. We saw him at the Circuit of the Americas test in November, December. So it kind of leads me to agree with Matt that Kimball might only be six races. Although the fact that the Novo Nordisk, I don't know, PR account or Novo Nordisk Racing PR account or whatever you want to call it, tweeting makes me think that maybe Kimball has the full season and Enerson only has six races, but I think I'm going to stick. I'm going to completely agree with Matt on his predictions on this one.
And I also picked them as the most improved team out of the second year teams in our episode a couple weeks ago. So I'll stick with that as my analysis. I think they'll do better this season.
Fair enough. Do we want to go back to more news and then we'll save our other fan question for a little bit later?
Absolutely. I think that one should be about 5 seconds long. So next up is some positive news come out about races and their sponsorship deals. Bomarito Automotive Group has extended their sponsorship for Gateway for 3 more years through 2021. Never a bad thing to have that. Firestone has stepped up to be the title sponsor for the season finale at Laguna Seca. Again, hard to find a negative in there. And then with Road America, it was long rumored that Kohler would be stepping down as a title sponsor, which wasn't a positive thing. But thankfully, Rev Group, a former sponsor and maybe current still sponsor of Team Penske. They were on Elio Castroneves' car a couple times.
Former.
They are based in Milwaukee. They have stepped up to be the title sponsor for the race at Road America, which is a great thing. So I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that.
Yay.
yeah, definitely nothing negative. You know, anytime we see a race getting a title sponsor is a happy day.
Yay, happy days. Next up, so we talked about Japan and IndyCar already. Now this, it seems like Argentina and IndyCar are actually gaining some pretty good traction. There's a circuit, I believe in San Juan, Argentina, called the Circuit Villicum. They and Argentinian officials have been working with IndyCar to bring a race to the South American country as soon as 2020. I know we've talked about several options for IndyCar to go abroad. Japan, Brazil, Argentina.
Australia.
Australia, which I still think is happening as well. Maybe a quick, let's play odd maker. Just give me a percent chance, Mike, of what percent chance IndyCar is in Argentina by 2020?
10. And I'm only, this one seems the least likely to me. And I am no, world expert here, but every time Argentina is in the news, it's always about, you know, how much their economy is struggling. And I found an article here from August explaining how the Argentinian economy is extremely volatile right now. So, and I'm not going to bother trying to read it because it'd probably be well over my head. But that alone is definitely concerning because obviously they're going to need a, you know, probably a big chunk of change to get IndyCar over here and or over there. So I'm going to go low and say 10%.
You know, a good cheater would just not cite his sources and just sound smart. So, Jess.
I'm going to go just a little bit higher. I'm going to say 30%. I think it's a good sign that the track and the officials from Argentina are kind of approaching IndyCar, that they want it. But yeah, like you said, you know, the finances are going to have to be there. And, I don't know kind of... Honestly, I'm not cheating, so I don't really know what their financial situation is as a country. Just because the economy is struggling doesn't necessarily mean that the country is. So that's why I'm giving it just a little bit higher, because I do like the fact that they're kind of approaching IndyCar.
Maybe we can make this our poll of the week. I'll go 50%. I'll say IndyCar seems to have a little bit of swagger right now, and things seem to be going right for it for the first time in a long time, last maybe like 3 years. It's something that us fans have to get adjusted to, that, you know, good things are actually happening and maybe we should see glass half full because we're not used to that. So I'll go 50% and we'll share that poll and see what all of you out there have to say. So you can follow us on Twitter at @PitLaneParley, P-A-R-L-E-Y. And we'll kind of see where we go from there. Moving on. IndyCar did test at Sebring yesterday. Did they go on track today, Wednesday, or was it just yesterday, Tuesday?
I have no idea.
They did Monday and Tuesday. I don't believe they did anything today.
So yeah, Coin did some sort of private test on a modified Sebring circuit. So we couldn't really compare their lap times to today. Or sorry, yesterday. I'm getting all my tenses mixed up here. So yesterday, Tuesday, we did get unofficial lap times tweeted out by Marshall Pruitt at Racer Mag. I'll just do a quick rundown here. It was Hinch, followed by Veach, Sato, Hunter-Reay, Rossi, Jones, Rosenquist, Ericsson, Piggott, Andretti, and Rahal. And between that, the gap was less than a second from 1st to 11th out of those who tested. Again, the coin cars did go on Monday with Ferrucci and Bourdais, but we couldn't compare their times because they were on different layout. Anything stand out to you guys on that, you know, very informal, unofficial lap times, or should we just not read too much into that? Jess.
Well, I know you don't read too much into it, that or practice or anything. But I'm going to go with Woohoo Veach. Like, that's impressive. Good job, buddy. I think that's, you know, can only mean good things for him. It gives him the confidence going into, you know, the next testing and also going into the first race.
Mike?
Yeah, it's tough to read too much into it, but you know, for James Hinchcliffe to, you know, come out on top, whether it's official or unofficial after testing, is definitely a good sign for SPM after, you know, their tumultuous, you know, 2018. So happy to see that. And like Jess said, and glad for Veach and his, you know, fancy new IndyCar or his new livery. But outside of that, it's probably too much, too early to read into too much.
Yeah. For those who don't follow me on Twitter and aren't used to my thoughts on, like, you know, final practice, because it's nothing more frustrating than when Marco Andretti does like the second best time in final practice and all of his fans are going to go, oh my God, he's going to win the race. And it's like, no, he's not. He's just won't. Because everybody just gets their hopes up based on practice results. So the only thing I can pull out of that is Andretti as a whole looked pretty consistent. I don't know. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's no way you can translate this into Hinch is going to win four races this season. So, and who knows? Who knows what they were doing as far as programs? Maybe they weren't focusing on all out race pace. You know, testing is to try different things and see what works and what doesn't. So, I won't read too much into it, but it is good to see Hinch on top of the leaderboard there and see Veach do well. On top of the testing, they were trying to practice with the new LED lights IndyCar was, and that was on Andretti Autosports cars, or a couple of them, and then a couple of the Ed Carpenter Racing cars, which is good. I did miss the LED panels last year. I think they did enhance the viewership at the track, especially to see kind of track where your favorite driver was in relation to the rest of the field. So that's good. And then Mike did touch on the fact that we did see Zach Veach in a different livery. If you guys didn't see, there's a photo tweeted by a fan of Veach in a car sponsored by Gainbridge, which is a part of the Group 1001, who is Veach's primary sponsors last year. So that's cool. It was black and yellow, and I think it had a couple blue accents on there. It looks pretty slick compared to, I think it was Jess's least favorite livery last year was the Group 1001.
No, hers was the Penske Silver Trio.
I thought, like, way back when, like, way last year, I think Jess said she didn't like it.
I know I didn't like the weird powder blue mirrors on the Group 1001 car.
They weren't blue. They were like aqua, or they were like a cyan. Wasn't it?
Isn't that blue?
No, it's more like a greenish blue. Why are we debating colors? How did we get to this point?
Because it's mid-January in the off season, and we really want some real racing.
If anybody out there can educate Mike and I on blue versus cyan versus green, we would really appreciate that. I'll have to show a photo to Sammy later and see what she says. I guarantee she won't say blue, though. But yeah.
So I'm going to have to pull it up now because I don't even remember.
It was black / pewter gray, and it was like a bronzy color, and then it had, yes, like cyan colored mirrors. And yes, it actually got better as the year went on. When they put Group 1001, like the numbers instead of it spelled out, that did help at Pocono. Yeah. So there's that. But anyways, we'll get Jess's thought on that in about 5 seconds here. But Paul Tracy did come out and say that he would be racing in the Bathurst 12-hour race. It's a GT race there in Australia at one of the best tracks in the world, Mount Panorama. So, Mike, my question for you is, do you think that is the news that Paul Tracy has been teasing to us, or do you think that is some sort of subplot to what we can expect?
I am going to go full conspiracy theory here and say there is more coming from Paul Tracy in the news world. I don't know what. I won't try to predict what, but I'm going to go conspiracy theory here and say the 12-hour Bathurst race is just the first of maybe a few announcements.
Jess?
I can only hope it's the only announcement. I just can't wait for him to go away. And by the way, they're seafoam green. The mirrors, they're seafoam.
So neither of us were right.
So, wait, what's more right, cyan or blue?
Cyan.
Ah, that's fair.
I admit defeat.
There you go. If there's one thing I got right now to this episode, it's their color of Zach Veach's mirrors on his cars last year.
Yeah. So as far as Paul Tracy goes, I know this is going to sound horrible, but I just don't even care. Like, he just bugs me. I do wish he would kind of just go away, but unfortunately, he's not. And so I will just bite my tongue and deal with it.
All right. We'll move on from there. Well, I guess we'll wait for more news from Paul Tracy. I think that there's more news coming as well. So we will make sure that it's front and center on our next podcast when that does happen, so we can get all of Jess's thoughts on that. Moving on, Scott Dixon. Jess, is he going to run the one next year or no? What do you think?
I don't think he will, no.
Mike?
Yeah, I agree with Jess. He's not going to.
It's so frustrating. Oh, my gosh. So if those who don't know, Dixon was posted a photo on Instagram of him with a picture of the PNC Bank car with the number one on it, and everybody flipped out because Scott Dixon is famous for not running the one since his disastrous 2004 IRL with the one on his car. And so after his next three championships, has not run the one. So everybody got super excited, and then Dixon came out and said, yeah, you know, we were going to see if fans noticed. And, of course, everybody noticed, and now they're not sure, which is pretty dumb if you ask me.
Yeah, I think if you read between the lines there, he's pretty much saying it's not going to happen, guys.
All right, well, whatever. Go ahead, Mike.
He's a man of habit. Let him have his habit.
Yeah, but he's also never won a championship back-to-back after – not running the one. So there's also that.
But he's never won.
He's never won. Wow, running the one either.
Yeah.
Because he won the OA championship.
Thank you, Jess.
Didn't win in 09. He won the 13 championship and didn't win 14. He won the, what is it? Hang on, I lost my track here. 15 championship and didn't win after that. And now this year, I guess, to be determined.
All right. Well, before we wrap things up here, we have one more fan question and one more round of Patreon shout outs. So thank you, our buddy George. Thanks again for all the scoops you got for us last week at the Roar Before the 24. Thank you, Jason Camp. Jason Camps, sorry, I got your name wrong. Matt Gruenholz. And I'm sorry we got to you last again. Mr. Stephen King, thank you very much. And our last fan question is a very quick one brought to you by at F1 Andrew. So we will jump right into this. It's going to be a yes or no. We don't need any explanations here. At F1 Andrew, Andrew Barker asks, will Marco win a race again? And any end, who is your favorite for the season championship in 2019? Jess? Go.
No, and Rossi.
Matt?
Yes, and can I say Rossi too, or is that? I'll be different.
Sure, why not?
I mean, he was so good last year. I will say Newgarden.
Okay, I am also going to say yes, and I am going to go with Willpower.
Slick Willie P. So now, see, none of us are picking Dixon too. See, if he was running the one, maybe we'd say yes.
Yeah, exactly. So real quick, before we get to our group pitfall for the week, as we wrap up here, thank you to everybody who has subscribed to Patreon and everybody who continues to listen. Make sure you subscribe to get the episodes as they're released every Friday morning. And if you'd like to check it out, go to indieindiephilly.com. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., the show is being played. And then once racing season starts, you can listen to it on race mornings. I think it's going to be replayed at 10 a.m. on Sundays. With that, I will bring up the group pitfall here. And it is the continued struggles of NASCAR having to lay off some people last week. And it's not necessarily that they laid off people, but it's, to me, the worst part about it was the statement behind it. And some well wishes for all those who did lose their jobs. Hopefully they can find jobs in a IndyCar or maybe some maybe some sprint car racing, or, you know, hopefully they're able to stay in racing. But I'm going to sum up the statement here real quick. I'm not going to read the entire statement. As all good businesses do, NASCAR is committed to strengthening its operation to ensure resources are aligned to strategies that grow the sport and drive our business. I'm just going to leave it at that and turn it over to you guys, and we'll talk about this for a handful of minutes here before we wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same old, it's just par for the course for NASCAR, where something is not good and they try to put a positive spin on it and say, oh, you know, it's fine. Every good business lays off people to stay good. Like, that's just not how it works. So, you know, obviously we wish the best for those who were laid off. You know, it's never a good thing, and we hope they land on their feet wherever they may end up. But, you know, it's just a continuing sign. If you just take a step back and look at NASCAR, there's just one after the other of just things not looking so good for them. And, you know, as a, I think all racing fans would appreciate if all racing series did well, regardless of what you thought for them. Cause a good NASCAR is good for us, you know, like a thriving NASCAR is good for the racing world as far as funding tracks and safety and things like that. So wouldn't be good to see them go away completely, but they do need to kind of figure some stuff out here soon.
I have to agree on the, they need to figure some stuff out soon. Obviously, they're trying to spin this into a positive light, and I understand as a business what they're trying to do, but for the people who unfortunately were the ones who got laid off, I'm sure that that was a slap in the face to them. And you know, it's sad that it has to happen. I hope that they get things figured out, and I definitely hope that the people that were laid off find employment, you know, even maybe with a NASCAR team instead of NASCAR as a series. But hopefully they all find jobs real quick, and NASCAR can start to be a little more honest with not only the fans but themselves and say, hey, look, we've got some problems and we're trying to figure this stuff out.
Yeah, I think you guys have all hit good points there. The statement is a typical NASCAR, everything is sunshine and rainbows when, oh yeah, by the way, we laid off, you know, a few percent of our workforce. So I don't think I need to go into any more detail. You guys covered that one well. Is there anything left we missed before we wrap it up for the week?
I don't think so, no.
I can't think of anything.
Well, guys, Jess, it is time for you to wrap things up.
And guys, keep your lug nuts tight.
The music for this week's episode was done by Impulse Studios and produced by Podcastly Productions. Web design courtesy of A30.com.